You know, what you see in Jonathan and David is you see the sacrificial friendship. You don't see David going, well, Jonathan, what have you done for me lately? You know, or Jonathan going, well, where were you? I can't believe you weren't there. You let me down. You're not my friend anymore. You know, there's a sacrificial friendship here, and it comes at a high price. And if you want that kind of friendship, you got to give that kind of friendship. If you want a friend that's going to love you through thick and thin, you got to love somebody through thick and thin. If you want to be loved when you mess up, you got to love somebody else when they're messing up. That's what Jesus said we're supposed to do.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee, the senior pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. As Pastor David continues teaching through 1 Samuel chapter 20 today, we have one of David McGee's assisting pastors in the studio with us, Neil.
Bob, it's great to be joining with you today as we continue listening, studying, and growing in God's Word through 1 Samuel chapter 20. And we're going to be talking about relationships today, about honesty, about being able to be open with each other in your communication. And Pastor David is going to be sharing about great ways to be a blessing in your relationship with others.
Well, let's listen as David McGee teaches verse by verse through 1 Samuel chapter 20.
Verse 1, then David fled from Naoth and Ramah and went and said to Jonathan, what have I done? What is my iniquity and what is my sin before your father that he seeks my life? So Jonathan said to him, by no means you shall not die. Indeed, my father will do nothing, either great or small, without first telling me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. Now, Jonathan has a point. His father's not going to end up doing anything to David, but it's kind of sad to see that Jonathan has this trust in his father that before the chapter's over, it's going to be shattered. Then David took an oath again and said, your father certainly knows that I have found favor in your eyes. And he has said, do not let Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death. Verse 4. So Jonathan said to David, whatever you yourself desire, I will do it for you. And David said to Jonathan, indeed, tomorrow is the new moon, and I shall not fail to sit with the king to eat. But let me go that I may hide in the field until the third day at even. If your father misses me at all, then say, David earnestly asked permission of me that he might run over to Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. If he says it is well, your servant will be safe. But if he is very angry, be sure that evil is determined by him. Therefore, you shall deal kindly with your servant, for you have brought your servant into a covenant of the Lord with you. Nevertheless, if there is iniquity in me, kill me yourself. For why should you bring me to your father? Verse 9. But Jonathan said, far be it from you. For if I knew certainly that evil was determined by my father to come upon you, then would I not tell you? Then David said to Jonathan, who will tell me, or what if your father answers you roughly? And Jonathan said to David, come, let us go out into the field. So both of them went out into the field. Then Jonathan said to David, the Lord God of Israel is witness. When I have sounded out my father sometime tomorrow, or the third day, and indeed there is good towards David, and I do not send to you and tell you, may the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it pleases my father to do you evil, then I will report it to you and send you away that you may go in safety and the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. It's kind of a sad little statement there, isn't it? And the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. You see over and over how, when you look at the book of Samuel, how Saul had so many opportunities. So many opportunities. It wasn't just one or two or three. I mean, Scripture records a lot of times Saul had the opportunity to do what was right and he decided to do what was wrong. And he started paying the price for it. And he gotten in the habit of not following God and not listening to the Lord and not listening to Samuel, who was his spiritual leader and also his friend. Samuel was probably the best friend that Saul ever had. But Saul chose not to listen to Samuel over and over again. And Samuel would say these things to Saul that I'm sure Saul didn't want to hear. But because he refused to hear them, Saul ended up in a really bad place. And guys, if you refuse to listen to spiritual leaders in your life, and you refuse to listen to those friends that are gathered around you that offer verses and are praying for you, you're going to wind up in a place you don't want to be. I promise you, you're going to wind up in a place you don't want to be. Because God puts people in our lives to speak these things to us. And if we disregard them, they're at our own peril. And you know, here's an interesting thing too. Here we have Saul, king of Israel. A lot of soldiers, a lot of property, if you will. A lot of, you know, probably had a nice home and whatnot. Does Saul strike you as a happy person? Not at all. But he's king. He's king. But he's not happy. See, there's something, the American dream kind of thing, if you will. There's something in us that thinks if we could be king, then everything would be okay. But I think a lot of times we, and maybe you're sitting there going, I never wanted to be king, never wanted to be president. Well, I mean, what is your blank? You know, I'll be happy if blank. What's your blank? A lot of people run around with them. I'll be happy if, you know, I get that new house. I'll be happy if I get that new job. I'll be happy, you know, when the service finally ends. No, I'm kidding. But I'll be happy if, and you fill in the blank. But wait a minute. Do you really think that? If you believe that, you're walking right past the fact that God has given you everything you need to know the joy of the Lord right here tonight. And you're walking past it. You're walking right past it. Came across an interesting quote. David Geffen. I don't like his political views or anything like that. But he made an interesting quote. He said, people that think money will make you happy don't have money. This man has millions and millions of dollars. What's your blank? Ask yourself. What's your statement? I'll be happy if what? And let me assure you that that probably has nothing to do with your happiness. And if you reach whatever blank is, you're going to be really disillusioned. But you can have true peace, true happiness in the Lord tonight. Not years from now, not when you win the lottery, not when you get this new house, new car, et cetera, et cetera. But you can have it tonight. So the only blank that's acceptable is I will be happy when I give my life totally to the Lord. And the good news, the great news, each and every one of us can do that tonight. You can do that tonight. You can know the joy of the Lord. Or you can sit there and go, well, I'm not buying into that. In a few days or a few weeks or a few years or maybe a couple decades from now, you're going to realize that I was right. I've known a lot of people that had a lot of things. I've known men that had millions and millions of dollars, more than they would ever outspend. And some of those men were the most miserable people I've ever known in my life. And we look at Saul, and Saul just seems like a miserable person right here. Why? Because he keeps disregarding his spiritual nature. He keeps disregarding his spirit man, if you will. He's not walking with the Lord. He's disregarding good, godly counsel. And still, look at the nobility of Jonathan. Again, understand, David is Jonathan's competition, if you will, for the crown. And Jonathan is doing nothing but loving this man. He is loving this man. There was a conductor that said, the greatest violinist is the one that has the ability to be the first violin, which is, you know, the one that plays the more complicated parts that are out front, the solo, the lead violinist, if you will. A violinist that has the ability to be the first violin, but the willingness to be the second. Verse 14. And you shall not only show me the kindness of the Lord while I still live, that I may not die, but you shall not cut off your kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord has cut off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth. Now, let me explain. Usually in the Middle East at this time, and even later after this, when somebody came into the throne, the first thing they did was wipe the old family completely out. All the family, the sons, the daughters, so that there would be no threat to their throne. And certainly in the life of Herod, he took that to a even worse level as he began to wipe out members of his own family, his own children, his own wives, because he thought they posed a threat to his kingship. And so Jonathan is saying, hey, remember and be kind. And the Hebrew word here is hesed, and it's not just kindness. It's mercy. It's love. It's loyalty. And what we're going to see is there's a beautiful picture that happens later in an offspring of Jonathan, Mephibosheth, who sits at David's table. There's an interesting study of grace in that. We'll get into that a little bit later, but the only reason he's allowed a place at that table is because he knows David. Well, if you go back to remember that Jesus is the son of David, he's referred to in Scripture, and guess what? We're allowed to sit at his table. Why? Because we know him. No other reason. Not because we're good enough, not because we've earned it, not because we deserve a place at his table, but because we know him. When those people come to Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, we did this, we did that, Jesus is going to say, you know what? I never knew you. He's not going to say you didn't do enough. He's going to say, I never knew you. How do you know Jesus? You have that relationship where you ask him to forgive you of your sins. The commitment in this relationship is worth noting. I mean, it's worth drawing attention to because, you know, they really just had a disagreement. David is saying, your dad's trying to kill me. And Jonathan's going, well, no, I don't think he is. Now, as disagreements go, that's a pretty strong disagreement. Your dad's a murderer, you know, kind of thing. And yet they're still walking together. That's a beautiful thing. You understand that's the way our friendships are supposed to be? If you're going through life and you think you're looking for a friend that you're going to agree on everything, you're never going to find that friend. If you think you find that friend, what you really found is a liar. Because they don't agree with you on everything. They're just saying they agree with you on everything. Neither are you going to agree on everything in a church. You understand that? It amazes me when people say, well, Pastor David, I don't agree with everything that goes on around here. You know, my comment usually is, well, I don't agree with everything that goes around here either. I mean, it's not like I can control everything that goes on around here. There's some things I don't agree with. But if you're waiting to figure out where we're going to disagree so you can bail, that's a cop-out. See, and oftentimes we get into this consumer mentality of where I'm going to church hop until I find somewhere where we disagree. It's only a matter of time till they find what that disagreement is and they bail out of here. Don't have relationships like that. Don't have a relationship with a church like that. Don't have a relationship with a pastor based on that, because you're just never going to agree 100% with another human being. It's just reality. It's a sad reality, but part of those disagreements will help you grow. And again, it's just worth noting, Jonathan is willing not to be king. He's willing not to be a king. That's an awesome thing because, you know, God puts us in positions, oftentimes that are not leadership positions, to see where our heart is. It's a heart check. Whether we'll be content, you know, washing toilets for God. Again, being faithful in small things, God will give you more things to do. And do the best you can and watch God open doors for you.
Thank you for listening to David McGee with Cross the Bridge Ministries. David's heart is to help you beyond our radio program. We will continue teaching the Word of God and bringing hope through the power of the Scriptures. We know that these are unusual times, so we want to share with you many of our online tools. Please check out youareloved.org to take advantage of these free resources. Our daily devotional has a helpful reading plan, thoughts from the Scripture, and practical life lessons to help encourage you. On youareloved.org, you can find full-length teachings from Pastor David and his assisting pastors. Maybe you're not able to attend services at your local church right now. Visit youareloved.org so you can join us live on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern and Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Now, back to David McGee.
Verse 16. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord require it at the hand of David and David's enemies. Now, Jonathan again calls David to vow because he loved him. For he loved him as he loved his own soul. This is an incredible friendship. It's one that even people who, secular writers, recognize as an incredible friendship. The friendship of Jonathan and David. It didn't happen overnight. This happened over a long period, a long time. Because that's the way in-depth friendships happen. They happen over time. And sometimes I think we kind of barge into and we try to press a friendship, or maybe you know something for, you know someone for a couple days and you think, well, I'm going to do that thing Pastor David talked about and I see him doing something wrong, so I'm going to jump in there and tell them everything they're doing wrong. Well, you don't have the foundation or the friendship or the relationship to be speaking the truth in love. You got to speak the truth, but it's got to be in love. So develop that relationship, and then you can begin to do these things. And this is, you know, what you see in Jonathan and David is you see the sacrificial friendship. It's sacrificial. You don't see David going, well, Jonathan, what have you done for me lately? You know, or Jonathan going, well, where were you? I can't believe you weren't there. You let me down. You're not my friend anymore. You know, there's a sacrificial friendship here, and it comes at a high price. And if you want that kind of friendship, you got to give that kind of friendship. If you want a friend that's going to love you through thick and thin, you got to love somebody through thick and thin. If you want to be loved when you mess up, you got to love somebody else when they're messing up. That's what Jesus said we're supposed to do. You know, Peter goes to Jesus and he goes, hey, how many times are we supposed to forgive somebody? Like seven times? Now, Peter was really trying to be very spiritual with Jesus at that point. Because what the teaching of the day is you forgave him three times. After that, you didn't have to forgive him anymore. That was it. So Peter thought, I'm going to be really spiritual and say, hey, Jesus, are you supposed to forgive him seven times? He's thinking Jesus would go, oh, Peter, you're so spiritual, forgive him seven times. Remember what Jesus said? Not seven times, 70 times seven. So what Jesus was saying is that you need to make a list. And when somebody messes up, you write it down and you number it. And when they get to 490, that's it. You're done. Relieved of all duty. No, that's not what he meant. He's saying don't keep a list. Seven, the number of eternity. The number of eternity. Keep those friendships with people. Because if you're looking for that, you got to be willing to give that. Verse 18. Now Jonathan said to David, tomorrow's the new moon and you will be missed because your seat will be empty. So in this gathering, David had a reserved seat. And when you have stayed 3 days, go down quickly and come to the place where you hid on the day of the deed and remain by the stone Ezel. Then I will shoot three arrows to the side as though I shot at a target. And there I will send a lad saying, go find the arrows. If I expressly say to the lad, look, the arrows are on this side of you, get them and come. Then as the Lord lives, there's safety for you and no harm. But if I say thus to the young man, look, the arrows are beyond you, go your way, for the Lord has sent you away. And as for the matter which you and I have spoken of, indeed the Lord be between you and me forever. So they come up with this plan, and this was it was necessary because, you know, Jonathan and David knew that they really couldn't trust anybody else in Saul's service. There was, you know, and that's the reality in life. There's people that you can trust, and there's simply people that you should not trust. The Bible says we should be wise as serpents and as harmless as the doves. So they come up with this plan, and basically he's saying, look, David, listen to what I say. If I say this thing, you're fine. Everything's cool. If I say this one thing, then you know what? You need to leave. You need to leave because your life is in danger. And there is certain wisdom in that. And Matthew 10:16 is where that verse is. It says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. The New Living Translation says almost the same thing. It says, look, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. Be as wary as snakes and harmless as doves. You ever really thought about that verse? That first part? I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. I don't know how many people here have seen Bugs Bunny cartoons. I have a habit of spiritualizing the weirdest things. I understand it. But do you remember the one, you know, where the wolf is trying to eat the sheep and he dresses up as sheep? And so, we got a clip of it. We're going to watch it? No, I'm kidding. A sheep against a wolf. That just hardly makes sense, does it? I mean, unless you got this, I don't know, maybe you got a big buff sheep, you know, Lambo, you know, that's going to go take the wolf out. But it's a little scary when you stop and consider we're being sent out as sheep among wolves. But you know what? We can trust our shepherd. We can trust our shepherd. And it says, be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. It doesn't say be as wise as doves and harmless as serpents. There's wisdom in this. And here's the thing. And certainly if you've been beat up, understand, you tend towards fear in relationships. If you've been lied to enough times, you are afraid of developing friendships. And God can heal you of that. And you can find your security in the Lord. But here's the life lesson here. You must use caution and wisdom in dealing with people. You must use caution and wisdom in dealing with people. Jesus talks about this. This is what he's referring to in this verse. Use wisdom. And let me add, especially with people who are not following the Lord. You've got to be careful. And you've got to be careful with people who say they're following the Lord. We have to use wisdom. We have to use wisdom with people that say they're believers, and we have to use wisdom with people that are not believers. But just because somebody says they're a believer, if there's not fruit in your life, be careful, friend. These aren't scaredy cats. Jonathan and David aren't just, oh, they speak so carefully. King Saul, he makes us afraid. No, wait a minute. Jonathan went right up to the Philistines and took them on one by one. David went out on the field with Goliath and took him down. These are strong men, and yet they come up with a plan that doesn't necessarily take Saul on, but they come up with a plan that I believe has wisdom and discretion. Verse 24. Then David hid in the field, and when the new moon had come, the king sat down to eat the feast. Now the king sat on his seat, as at other times, on a seat by the wall. And Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side, but David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul did not say anything that day, for he thought, something has happened to him. He is unclean. Surely he is unclean. So again, it was supposed to be a really good time of fellowship and eating and sharing a meal. Now, he says he is unclean. Surely he is unclean. Let me remind you, the new moon, the start of the month, was a feast. And if you had done something and you were unclean, then you couldn't take a part of that feast. And so, you know, David may have killed a Philistine and he had to take a day, wash clothes, ceremonial cleanse himself, and before he could attend the feast. So, you know, that first day, Saul thought, well, maybe he's cleansing himself. He's ceremonially unfit for this. Verse 27, and it happened the next day, the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul said to Jonathan, his son, why has the son of Jesse not come to eat either yesterday or today? So Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked permission of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, please let me go, for our family has a sacrifice in the city, and my brothers commanded me to be there. And now if I have found favor in your eyes, please let me get away and see my brothers. Therefore he has not come to the king's table. Jonathan is lying to his father. But again, let me remind you that Saul is desiring to kill David. So before, you know, any youth in here go, oh, you know, I can see them. They're going to come back to that. Dad, God led me to lie to you. And you know, that's not acceptable unless your dad's trying to kill you. And if that's so, call the church. We'll help you. Jonathan is looking out for his friend. And he's in a very tough place here. God has placed him in a tough place. See what happens, verse 30. Then Saul's anger was aroused against Jonathan. He said to him, you son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? Now, the Jewish phrase really doesn't translate well here. The connotation here is that your mother is ashamed that you were ever born, and there's also kind of a question whether you're really her son, and maybe she was a loose woman or a prostitute. I mean, it's very strong. He's slamming him hard. This is his son. You know what, fathers, be very careful what you say to your kids. God has given you a power with your words over your children. You be careful what you say. If you've ever said that your child was worthless, or you regret that they were born, or that they were an accident, or anything like that, you need to go back and repent. You need to tell them that you're sorry, and you need to apologize to God as well. Because God is the one that placed you in the role as a father. Your words have a special power. And the power of those words is to encourage your children in the Lord. Use it for the appropriate reason. Obviously, Saul's not using it for the appropriate reason.
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking Him to help you to live for Him. Now, God wants you to pray this prayer so much that He died to give you the opportunity and the ability to ask Him to forgive you. Please pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe you died for me that I could be forgiven.
and I believe you were raised from the dead, that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit crossthebridge.com to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. You can also write to Cross the Bridge at P.O. Box 12515, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27117, and share how God is working in your life. Before we go, have you been listening to the teachings through the book of 1 Samuel? We've handpicked some of these teachings that will encourage your prayer life. Pastor Neil, can you tell us more?
Yeah, Bob, we all hunger for a deeper connection with the Lord. And Pastor David shares through past living examples how to have that deeper connection. So when you give a gift today, we're going to send you, for your generosity, Praying Through 1 Samuel. It's a 4-CD series that will encourage you in a deeper relationship with the Lord.
And as you step out on faith and give a gift to Cross the Bridge today, we will send this in appreciation for your generosity. Again, please visit crossthebridge.com to give today and get your copy of Praying Through 1 Samuel.
We would also like to encourage you to grab Pastor David's daily devotional. Each day you can wake up with encouragement from Pastor David through the Word of God with this email devotional. Life lessons to consider, a daily reading plan, and a thought to meditate on throughout your day from the heart of David McGee.
Hey, and it's easy and it's free. You can just sign up today on crossthebridge.com. Well, folks, thanks for listening and tune in next time as David McGee continues teaching verse by verse through 1 Samuel.